We continue our study in the book of Hebrews, and our text this morning is Hebrews chapter 13 verses 1 to 6. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 1 to 6. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We have come to the last chapter in the book of Hebrews in our study on Sunday mornings. And as we read this last chapter in the book of Hebrews, we find that the writer had a great deal of various subjects to discuss, and he saves it all till the end of the book. In Hebrews chapter 12, we were rejoicing on Mount Zion. And now here in chapter 13, we are discussing daily matters such as hospitality, marriage, church officers, etc. In the Bible, there is no division between doctrine and duty. God has revealed truth to us so that we may obey. So there is no division between revelation and responsibility. The two always go together. Doctrine and duty. Revelation and responsibility. The emphasis in this last section of the book is on living by faith. Living by faith. The writer presented the great examples of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Then he gave us the encouragements to faith in Hebrews chapter 12. And here in Hebrews chapter 13, he presents the evidences of faith. The evidences of faith that should appear in our lives if we are really walking by faith and not by sight. So we are called to live by faith. And when we live by faith, there are evidences of faith. And there are four such evidences of Christian faith seen in Hebrews chapter 13. Number one, we will enjoy spiritual fellowship. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 1 to 6, which is our text for study this morning. Number two, the second evidence is submitting to spiritual leadership. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 13 verses 7 to 9, and Hebrews 13 verse 17, and Hebrews 13 verse 24. Number three, sharing in spiritual worship. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 10 to 16. And Hebrews 13 verses 18 to 19. And number four, experiencing spiritual lordship. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 20 to 21. Now today we will look at enjoying spiritual fellowship, which we see in Hebrews 13 verses 1 to 6, the text which I just read to you a little while ago. The basis for this fellowship is brotherly love. Brotherly love. Hebrews 13 verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Now these Hebrew Christians who received this letter, they were once followers of Judaism. But now, as Christians, these Hebrews were rejected. They were rejected by their friends, rejected by their families. So the writer reminds them that the deepest kind of fellowship is not based on race, not blood ties, not human blood ties, or on race or family relationships. No, it is based on the spiritual life that we have in Christ. So the deepest kind of fellowship is based on the spiritual life that we have in Christ. So a church fellowship that is based on anything other than the love for Christ and for one another will simply not last. If a church fellowship is based on church activity or fellowship meals or cell groups or cottage meetings, it will not last. Now please don't misunderstand me. All of those activities have their place and they are important. But that is not the foundation of our fellowship. The foundation of our fellowship must be nothing else but love for Jesus and love for one another. And that is why the writer tells us in Hebrews 13 verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Now there are so many references to brotherly love in the New Testament. And I'm just reading out a few of those references in Romans chapter 12 verse 10. Romans 12 verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. In simple words, if there is a competition, it needs to be a competition of the expression of love for one another. Love one another with brotherly love, with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 9 to 10. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Then in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, and godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love. Now sad to say, many Christian fellowships and churches have lost their love for the Lord. They have lost their love for the Lord and lost their love for one another. We find in the book of Revelation chapter 2 verses 4 to 5, the Lord Jesus giving a strong rebuke in Revelation chapter 2 verses 4 to 5. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now this brotherly love is absolutely foundational for witnessing. So when this love is replaced by other things, then the church loses its power to witness. Because the Holy Spirit works only in this atmosphere of love. That's why Jesus said in John 13 verse 35, we read John 13 verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another. So this love is absolutely foundational for witnessing. Where there is true Christian love, there will also be hospitality. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hospitality was an important ministry in the early church because of persecution. Persecution drove many believers away from their homes. So fellow believers welcomed those persecuted into their own homes. Now this happens today. It happens in the villages in North India. Usually when a family in the village turns to Christ, the entire family, the entire community, that entire village will persecute the family that has come to Jesus. The entire family is ostracized. The hatred is sometimes very intense, and many times they would have to leave the village or they are driven out of the village. And when they are driven out, they usually go to the village from which they heard the gospel message initially. So the village that they run to welcomes them into their homes, and that village would even give them land and build a home for them. That is hospitality. In the early church, there were also these traveling ministers, the itinerant ministers who needed places to stay. We read in the third epistle of John, 3 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 8. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. So many poor traveling ministers could not afford to stay in a hotel, in an inn, in those days. So the early church met in homes of fellow believers. So fellow believers in their homes, they met together. There was no formal church building. Romans chapter 16 verse 5. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. There are so many other references to churches that meet in homes. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 19. Colossians chapter 4 verse 15. Philemon 1 verse 2. So since these churches met in homes, it was natural for a visitor to just stay with the host. Now the scripture tells us that pastors are supposed to be lovers of hospitality. Pastors are supposed to be lovers of hospitality. Titus chapter 1 verses 7 to 8. For an overseer or shepherd or pastor, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. In fact, every believer should be given to hospitality. Romans chapter 12 verse 13. Romans 12 verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. In Genesis chapter 18, we have the account of Abraham. And you see there Abraham showing generous hospitality to the Lord Jesus and to two of his angels. In Genesis chapter 18 verses 1 to 8. And the Lord appeared to him. The Lord is no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. In his appearances in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 18 verses 1 to 8. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre. As he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. I like that last part of that verse. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. This reminds me of the times when I was in itinerant ministry in the years 95 to 96 and one of the states that we would constantly visit was Andhra Pradesh. And I found there in Andhra, in the churches in Andhra, they are so hospitable. In fact, I've seen this happen literally. The men will serve the meal, the women cook the meal, the men will serve the meal, and they will stand and watch us eat and see if we need anything more. Just like this. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Now you and I may not entertain angels in a literal sense, though that's possible, but any stranger could turn out to be a messenger of blessing to us. In fact, the word angel simply means messenger. And some of the guests in your homes would turn out to be messengers of God's blessings. So be hospitable. I know we are going through difficult times, COVID times, when we can't express hospitality with all this social distancing. We can't visit homes now. But I believe God is reminding us of the things that we ought to do once this ends. Love also expresses itself in concern. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 3, concern. Hebrews 13 verse 3. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. So there is this concern. That is what love does. It expresses concern, empathy. It's not unusual for Christians to be arrested and imprisoned for their faith. It is happening to so many believers today in our country. The love of Christ demands a ministry to them. To minister to a Christian prisoner in the name of Christ is to minister to Christ himself. Matthew chapter 25 verse 36. Matthew 25 verse 36. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Matthew chapter 25 verse 40. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So it is so important to pray for them and share with them as the Lord enables us. Be concerned about their needs and help them. They are in prison and they are in pain and they need our help. Now, having said that, the writer also reminds us that the home is the first place where Christian love should be practiced. The home is the first place where Christian love should be practiced. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. A Christian home begins with a Christian marriage in the will of God. So this means loyalty, this means purity. Sex outside of marriage is sinful and it is destructive. Sex within the protective bonds of marriage is God's gift to the wedded couple and is blessed by God. What is the difference between fornication and adultery? The King James Version uses the word fornication. Fornication is committed by unmarried persons and adultery is committed by married persons. However, in the New Testament, the term fornication can refer to many kinds of sexual sins. Acts chapter 15 verse 20. I'm reading from the King James Version. Acts 15 verse 20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. The King James Version uses the word fornication here instead of sexual immorality. So the term fornication can refer to many kinds of sexual sins. Now, how does God judge fornicators and adulterers? Sometimes they are judged in their own bodies. They are judged in their own bodies. Romans chapter 1 verses 24 to 27. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Certainly, they will be judged at the final judgment. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Again in Revelation 22 verse 15. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Now the question is, what about believers who commit sexual sins? If they repent of their sins and seek God's forgiveness, certainly they will be forgiven. Believers who commit these sins certainly may be forgiven, but they will lose their rewards in heaven. They will lose their rewards in heaven. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 5. Paul is speaking to believers. Ephesians 5 verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. No inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Doesn't say that they won't enter the kingdom of God. They'll enter, but they will have no inheritance. David was forgiven, but he suffered the consequences of his adultery for years to come. He suffered in the hardest way. Through his own children he suffered. Today, sexual sins are paraded as entertainment in movies, on television and social media. But the church must take a stand for the purity of the marriage bond. A dedicated Christian home is the nearest thing to heaven on earth. And it starts with a Christian marriage in the will of God. The husband being the head of the home and his wife the suitable helpmeet. Both living under the lordship of Jesus Christ, fulfilling the will of God in their lives. And God will pour out his love into such a home where there will be harmony and shalom, there will be peace. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 24. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Now, if we love God and others as we should, then we will have a right relationship to material things also. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 5 to 6. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember that the writer is writing this epistle to believers from Jewish backgrounds. And they were going through suffering. And times of suffering can either be times of selfishness or times of service. It is not easy to accept joyfully the plundering of your property. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 34 speaks about that. Hebrews 10 verse 34. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. It's not easy to accept joyfully the plundering of your property. But remember, this can happen to us too. With the present COVID crisis and the present condition of the economy in our country, we may soon find ourselves living without some luxuries that we now consider as necessities. A Christian couple from the USA was ministering to the believers in Eastern Europe behind the Iron Curtain in those days. And the couple had brought in Christian literature. They brought blankets and other necessary items. And at the church gathering, the couple assured the believers that the Christians in America were praying for the believers in Eastern Europe. We are happy for that, one believer replied. But we feel that Christians in America need more prayer than we do. And then when asked why, he replied, we here in Eastern Europe are suffering, but you in America are very comfortable. And it is always harder to be a good Christian when you are comfortable. It is always harder to be a good Christian when you are comfortable. The word covetousness literally means love of money. Love of money. But it can be applied to a love for more of anything. A love for more of anything. That is covetousness. Not just love of money. It can also be applied to a love for more of anything. Someone asked the millionaire, Bernard Baruch, how much money does it take for a rich man to be satisfied? And Baruch replied, just a million more than he has. Just a million more than he has. Covetousness is the desire for more, whether we need it or not. But contentment is entirely opposite. Contentment cannot come from material things. I repeat, contentment cannot come from material things, period. Because material things never satisfy the heart. Only God can satisfy the heart. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 verse 15, I read from the NIV, Luke chapter 12 verse 15, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. When God is our Father and Christ our Savior and Lord, we have all that we need. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we are children of God, and that is the greatest security that we enjoy in this world. And we recognize that the material things that we have are God-given, and we are only stewards, not owners. We work to serve God. We use the material things to serve God and to serve people with God's love in our hearts. In the process of doing so, we are His witnesses. John chapter 6 verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on Him God the Father has set a seal. The material things in life can decay and be stolen, but God will never leave us or forsake us. So the writer writes in Hebrews 13 verse 5, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This promise was made to Joshua when Joshua succeeded Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 verses 7 to 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Again in Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Again in Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And this promise is fulfilled to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus said, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Acts 18 verses 9 to 10. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people. Then in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6 we read, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? This affirmation of faith in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6 comes from Psalm 118 and verse 6. Psalm 118 verse 6. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Psalm 118 is a messianic psalm and is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can cling on to this promise for ourselves. It was a source of great peace to the early Christians to know that they were safe in the nail-pierced hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were safe from the fear of man. They understood that no man could do anything to them unless God permits. You see, people might take away our goods, but God will meet every need of ours. Pilate, the Roman governor, he threatened Jesus. And we read of the reply that Jesus gave him in John 19, verses 10 to 11. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it has been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." A woman said to the evangelist D.L. Moody, "I found a promise that helps me when I'm afraid." And she quoted Psalm 56 verse 3. "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." Psalm 56 verse 3. "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." Moody replied, "I have a better promise than that." And he quoted Isaiah chapter 12 verse 2. Isaiah 12 verse 2. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid." Now, both promises are true and each has its own application. The important thing is that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord, Savior, and our helper, and that we don't put our trust in material things. Christians who are content are people with priorities, and material things are not high on their priority list. They seek the kingdom of God and they desire to do the will of God. Matthew 6 verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So they are content with what God has given them. They fix their eyes on the spiritual, not on the material. Paul speaks to Timothy about contentment in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 6 to 10. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Later on, before he ended the second letter to Timothy, Paul warns Timothy of believers who love the world. He warns Timothy of believers who love the world. He speaks of the sad story of Demas. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Why should young Timothy be exhorted to be spiritually diligent and faithful? Because believers can end up being spiritually lethargic and unfaithful like Demas. And such believers cannot be depended on. Demas is named only 3 times in the New Testament. And yet these 3 citations tell a sad story of failure. Paul lists Demas along with Mark and Luke as one of his fellow believers, fellow laborers. Philemon, chapter 1, verse 24. "And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers." Then he simply called Demas, Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Colossians 4, 14. "Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas." But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it is, "Demas has deserted me." Paul gave the reason why Demas deserted him. Demas loved this present world. Remember, Demas, as a believer, had tasted the powers of the world to come. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 5. Hebrews 6 verse 5. And have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come. But Demas preferred this present evil world. In his book, The Pilgrim's Progress, the author John Bunyan, he pictures Demas as the keeper of a silver mine at the hill called Lucca. Perhaps it was the love of money that enticed Demas back into the world. And it must have broken the Apostle Paul's heart to see Demas fail so shamefully. But let's remember, that can happen to any believer. Perhaps this explains why Paul had so much to say about riches in his pastoral letters. So be vigilant. The enemy is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So put on the whole armor of God. Be spiritually diligent that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6 verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Learn to enjoy spiritual fellowship with God. Learn to walk with God, humbly walk with God, and love God's people. Remember, we said last time, what should we do as we live in a shaking world? What should we do as we live in a shaking world? Listen to God speak and obey Him. Listen to God speak and obey Him. Receive grace day by day to serve Him and serve Him with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 28 and 29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?